In session 12 of Living God's Word, we will talk a little bit more about speaking in tongues. We already discussed this while looking at records in Acts and Corinthians. Now we'll look at the big picture in a number of different scriptures. First of all, we'll talk about what it is not. Many times looking at what something is not helps you understand better what it is. And what it is, or what it's not, it's not gibberish or foolishness. No language is, although it may sound odd to some. 1 Corinthians 13. There are languages which sound very smooth and flowing. There are other languages that sound like a bunch of burps and grunts and gurgles, because we don't know them. No language, though, is gibberish or foolishness. 1 Corinthians 13, verse 1, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, and have not the love of God, charity, I am become a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. So it could be, when you speak in tongues, it could be a language of men or of angels. And if it's a language of men, of people, there could be somebody in the room that understands. If it's a language of angels, it's not as likely. Secondly, it's not a sign of weakness, nervousness, disruption, or unintelligence. There are people that actually say that about speaking in tongues. Only the weak and the confused people speak in tongues. Well, that's not the case. Let's look at Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1. And verse 8. You know all the superhero shows and science fiction shows that are so popular? The thing that makes them is the heroes always have some kind of special power. Well, most of that is make-believe. The only real special power there is spirit. And of spirit, the best kind is Holy Spirit. That's the most powerful kind. So if you want to be the superhero with more power than anybody else, this is the way to do it. Acts 1, verse 8, but you shall receive power after or when Holy Ghost has come upon you. So it's not a sign of weakness, it's power. Acts 2:4, they were all filled with the gift, Holy Spirit, and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit, the giver, God, gave them utterance. Again, it's not weakness, it's speaking by the Spirit of God. 1 Corinthians 14, and verse 18. The great apostle Paul. Most of the epistles we have written to the Christian church, most of what in the Bible is written to us was written by Paul. And he says here, I thank my God, I speak with tongues more than ye all. So if that's being weak, being like the apostle Paul, I really want to be weak. It was a great reason why he was so strong spiritually and God was able to tell him what he did to write the epistles, because he spoke in tongues, made himself strong spiritually. It's not linguistic ability. Number 3, back on your notes. It's not linguistic ability. Many unbelievers have this. Some people just have a knack for picking up languages. Other people work and work and struggle and barely get a passing grade in Spanish or French or German 101. They're just not good at languages. Other people are very good at languages. But speaking in tongues is not linguistic ability. It's also not the gift of languages that you could speak in a desired language at will. A lot of people, not reading the scriptures and not really studying them, think speaking in tongues is the ability that if I showed up in deepest, darkest Africa, I could speak their language. It's not. It's not speaking in tongues. And it's also not, in verse 5, an unusual ability to understand languages, where I could walk into a room of people I've never heard the language and I could understand it. That's not what it is either. Well, what is it? Here's a little shorter definition of what we saw on the previous page. It's the external manifestation in the senses world of the internal reality and presence of the power of the Holy Spirit. We internally have the Holy Spirit, the gift, and we externally manifest it or show it forth. That's what speaking in tongues is. It's supernatural. 1 Corinthians 12. It's supernatural. Again, supernatural means above natural, beyond what you can see by the or understand by the five senses. 1 Corinthians 12:11, all these worketh or are energized by the one and the selfsame Spirit, dividing every man severally or his own as he the man wills. Speaking in tongues is energized by the Spirit, which is what makes it supernatural. The other thing is, it's unknown to you. You, the speaker, do not know it. 1 Corinthians 14, verse 2. And we'll just leave out the italicized words in 1 Corinthians 14, 2. For he that speaketh in a tongue speaketh not unto men, but unto God, for no man understandeth. Nobody that speaks in tongues understands what he's saying. God is smart enough to know what languages you speak and to give you a tongue in a language you don't understand. Howbeit, nevertheless, in the Spirit he speaks mysteries. It doesn't mean that no one could understand. Let's go again to Acts chapter 2. Read about the day of Pentecost, where a lot of people understood those Galileans. 12 Galileans speaking in tongues. Acts 2, verse 8. The crowd was shocked, and they said, Acts 2, 8, and how hear we every man in our own tongue, our own language, wherein we were born? Parthians and Medes and Elamites, bless you, and the dwellers in Mesopotamia and in Judea and Cappadocia and Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia and Egypt and the parts of Libya about Cyrene and strangers of Rome, Jews and proselytes, Cretes and Arabians, we do hear them speak in what? Our tongues, in our languages, the wonderful works of God. So although the 12 apostles didn't know the words they were saying, there were people in the crowd who did hear in their own languages about the wonderful works of God. The words the apostles were speaking were praising God, and they were hearing it. Let's look at what it is. Now, what it is for. There are 12 things God's Word is for. We used to have ads when I was a kid that Wonder Bread builds strong bodies 12 ways. Probably don't have those ads anymore. But we enjoyed that because we had this sheet. Speaking in tongues builds strong believers 12 ways. 12 things speaking in tongues does for you. First thing it does, it edifies you or builds you up. Let's look at 1 Corinthians 14:4. 1 Corinthians 14:4. 1 Corinthians 14:4. He that speaketh in a tongue edifies or builds up himself. But he that prophesies edifies the church. So you want to do spiritual calisthenics, get yourself strong, speak in tongues. Look at Jude, way in the back of your Bible, just before the book of Revelation. Book of Jude, verse 20. It edifies you. Jude, verse 20. But ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in Holy Spirit. How do you pray in Holy Spirit? Speak in tongues. You can pray in the Spirit, speaking in tongues, or you can pray with your understanding. Praying with your understanding is important also, but speaking in tongues is praying in the Spirit. And that's how you build yourself up. Second thing is to speak to God divine secrets. Go to 1 Corinthians 14. 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 2. First Corinthians 14:2. For he that speaketh in a tongue speaketh not unto men, but unto God, for no man understandeth. Howbeit, nevertheless, in the Spirit he speaks mysteries. He speaks divine secrets. You're speaking divine secrets to God. Acts 2:11, we just read that, but let's look at it again. We speak the wonderful works of God when we speak in tongues. Acts 2:11. You've all gotten a lot of practice on the books of the Bible just flipping around, haven't you? Acts 2:11. Cretes and Arabians, we do hear them speak in our tongues, in our languages, the wonderful works of God. Another thing speaking in tongues does is it magnifies God. It praises Him, speaks highly of Him. Acts 10, verse 46. Acts 10, verse 46. Acts 10, 46. For they heard them speak with tongues and what? Magnify God. They spoke in tongues and they magnified God. Now here's one of the most incredible things about speaking in tongues. And number five here is to pray perfectly, making intercession for the saints. When you make intercession, you intercede. You pray in behalf of somebody else. You try to get in the middle of the situation and pray for the person. Well, the only perfect prayer is speaking in tongues. Look at Romans 8, verse 26. An incredible record here. Romans 8, verse 26. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmity. Infirmity here doesn't mean sickness, it means a shortcoming, a weakness, an inability. Well, what is our inability? For we know not what we should pray for as we ought. Let's say I want to pray for Elizabeth here. I don't know everything going on in Elizabeth's life. I wouldn't know exactly what to pray for. But I can think about Elizabeth and speak in tongues. Now, when I speak in tongues, who's giving me the words to say? God. Does God know everything going on in Elizabeth's life? Of course. Does God know what would be the best thing to help her? Of course. So when I speak in tongues for Elizabeth, I'm praying perfectly according to the will of God. Isn't that great? Let's read that again. The Spirit helps our weakness, our shortcoming, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. I couldn't make up the words in speaking in tongues if I wanted to. Verse 27, and he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what's the mind of the Spirit, because he or it, the Spirit, makes intercession for the saints, what? According to the will of God. So it's the only perfect prayer there is. The only way you can pray perfectly for exactly what somebody needs is to speak in tongues for them. There's no selfishness in speaking in tongues. You're helping others tremendously. And it also helps in your life. Let's say you're having a tough day. You maybe don't even know what's wrong. You just know things aren't going right. Well, you can just lift your whole self up to God in prayer, speaking in tongues, knowing the words that come from God are praying for exactly what the need is. What a great thing. We don't have to be confused and worried and figure everything out. We can just speak in tongues, knowing we have the words from God that'll pray for exactly what the need is. Look at number six on your sheet. The sixth thing speaking in tongues is for is to give thanks well in 1 Corinthians 14. 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 17. 1 Corinthians 14, 17. Talking about when you speak in tongues in the church, thou verily givest thanks well, but the other is not edified. When I speak in tongues, I do give thanks well. Same when you speak in tongues. To have the Spirit bearing witness with our spirit. Let's look at Romans 8, verse 16. Did you ever want proof that you're born again? This is it. I met so many Christians who go through their lives scared that they were never good enough to get eternal life. Well, first of all, we know that our eternal life is not based on our works. It's based on the wonderful accomplishments of Jesus Christ. Secondly, when we speak in tongues, that proves we're born again. It proves we have eternal life, so we never have to worry about it. You hear somebody speak in tongues, you know that person is born again. That person has eternal life. That person has God in Christ in them. Romans 8, verse 16. The Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are what? The children of God. And then this goes on the next one, to know we're a joint heir with Christ, verse 17, And if children, then we're heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. So it bears witness that we're born again, and it proves that we are heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. Look at Ephesians chapter 3, number 9 there. Strengthens you with might in the inner man. This is very similar to number 1, edifying you. It strengthens you. It strengthens you. This is, again, where many things we can do to be strengthened in the outer man. And those things are good. God gave us these bodies. It's good to keep these bodies strong and healthy. But along with that, we need to strengthen the inner man. And speaking in tongues is how we do that. Here in Ephesians 3 and verse 16, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man. We're strengthened with might, with power in the inner man. It's also a sign to unbelievers. Speaking in tongues is a sign to unbelievers, especially when it's interpreted so they don't think you're crazy. 1 Corinthians 14. Here in 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 22. Wherefore, tongues are for a sign, not to them that believe, but to them that what? Believe not. They're a sign. They're an indication that there's something wild going on here. It was funny. When I began to learn God's Word, I was in high school like many of you. And I would talk to my friends in school about speaking in tongues. And they said, oh, you're just making up that language. I could do that. And I said, okay, go ahead. You make up a language. And they go, they couldn't do it. They couldn't do it. But we don't have to make up languages. God gives us the words, and it is a sign to unbelievers. We'll skip that one and Mark and go on to number 11 here. It's rest to the soul. Let's go to Isaiah. Isaiah 28. It's rest to the soul. Isaiah 28 and verse 11. Isaiah 28, bless you, verse 11. For with stammering lips and another tongue will he speak to this people. Isaiah 28, 11. Isaiah 28, 11. For with stammering lips and another tongue will he speak to this people. To whom he said, this is the rest wherewith he may cause the weary to rest, and this is the refreshing, yet they would not hear. So this stammering lips and another tongue brought rest, it brought refreshing. Let's also look in 1 Corinthians 14, 21. 21. It references that same section. In Isaiah, in the law it is written, 1 Corinthians 14, 21, with men of other tongues and other lips will I speak unto this people, and yet for all that will they not hear me, saith the Lord. So speaking in tongues does bring tremendous rest to your soul. And the 12th thing is what we read about in 1 Corinthians 14, that it is to bring a message from God to the people. And it must then be interpreted, for it would be in public. And we'll just look at one or two of these verses, which we've read before. 1 Corinthians 14, verse 4. He that speaketh in a tongue edifieth himself, but he that prophesieth edifieth the church. Verse 13. Wherefore let him that speaketh in a tongue pray, believe that he may interpret. Verse 27, if any man speak in a tongue, let it be by one or at the most or by two, let it be by two or at the most by three, and that by course, and let one or that same one interpret. But if there be no interpreter, nobody who believes or prays to interpret, let him keep silence in the church. So speaking in tongues is wonderful in the church when it's interpreted. When it's not interpreted, it's for you and your private prayer life. Now, some people have said, and it's amazing how often this happens, that speaking in tongues was wonderful in the book of Acts, but then when we got the written word of God, we don't need it anymore. It went away with the apostles. Well, if it went away with the apostles, it's pretty shocking that we all speak in tongues all the time. But people will say that. Because if somebody doesn't want to believe something, they'll find a way to explain it away. And those that just don't like the idea of speaking in tongues will try to find ways to get rid of it. And that's one thing they say. But when will it cease? 1 Corinthians 13, verse 8. Charity, the love of God, never fails. But whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, and from other scriptures, it's clear that that's talking about the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. When the Lord Jesus Christ returns, then that which is in part shall be done away. When I was a child, I spake as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child, but when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see through a glass darkly. We don't know all about God and His Word now. But then, when the Lord returns, we'll see face to face. Now I know in part, but then, when the Lord returns, shall I know even as also I am known. And the reason I know this is when the Lord returns is there are other scriptures that are very clearly talking about the return of the Lord that say the same thing. Now abideth faith, hope, charity, the love of God. The greatest of these is the love of God. So speaking in tongues, prophecy, all these manifestations will be around until Jesus Christ returns. How is this speaking in tongues used most beneficially? It's used most beneficially in love. 1 Corinthians 13. We don't do it to brag at people and say, look what I can do that you can't do. It's used in love. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 13 again, verse 1. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not the love of God, I'm become a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. I'm just background noise. I'm just clatter if I don't do this in love. That's the reason we operate these manifestations, is to help God's people and walk in love. Now, how is it you speak in tongues? It's the same way you speak in English, or in French, or German, or Spanish, or any other language you might know. You simply, by the freedom of your will, you move your lips. You move your tongue. You move your throat. You formulate the words. You're not controlled. You don't go into a trance. You don't get this shot of electricity through your spine and you go rigid and wallow and no. Look at me when I speak in tongues. Son kodolon kodoran tarata, lon todolon kodonon korata, lon todolon kodonon koriti, ran kadala kodolon toritsan. What language is it? I have no idea. The tongue of men or of angels. Do I know what the words say? No. Not unless I speak in tongues and then interpret, which I can do also. Son kodolon kodorat tarata, lon todolon kodolan kalati. My children, look forth unto me and trust me, for I am your God, and I love you. The words I spoke in tongues mean about the same thing as what I said in English. Not because I understood the words and translated them, but God gave me the words in tongues, then He gave me the interpretation. I just spoke it. But I did it. I can speak in tongues really fast. Son kolon koran karatin. I can speak in tongues really slow. Son koloralatin lan taratan. The point is, I do the speaking. I control it. I'm not possessed. I'm not controlled. I decide when to start. I decide when to stop. And God's guarantee is He gives me the words. Well, how do you know what to say? You just start. It's like a faucet. The second drip doesn't come out until you let the first drip come out. Or in the case of that coffee pot, the first gallon of water doesn't go on the floor until you let the first gallon of water come out. You just let the first out and then the rest just follows. That's what it is in speaking in tongues. It's very simple. You move your lips, you move your tongue, you move your throat. You just decide, I'm going to speak in tongues, and you start. Whatever sound is there on the tip of your tongue, you say it. And then the next sound comes. Will it sound like gibberish? Yes. Will it sound like foolishness? Yes. Will you maybe think at first, I'm making it up? Probably. But just keep talking. Don't matter how ridiculous it sounds, just talk. And if you can speak one word in a tongue, you can speak 1,000. And like anything else, as you do it, it becomes very normal. It becomes very natural. To many people, it feels strange at first because they're not used to just talking something that sounds like gibberish. But when you decide to speak, the words just flow. Let's look at a few other verses here. Acts 2:38. Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. And you might, if you're extremely holy, never have a bad thought for 20 years. No. You shall receive the gift of Holy Spirit. So all you have to do is acknowledge Christ as your Lord, believe God raised Him from the dead, and you have the gift of Holy Spirit. Take a look at Luke. Luke 11 and verse 13. Jesus Christ is talking to some of those religious leaders He seemed to always be having disagreements with in the Gospels. And He says here in Luke 11, verse 13, if you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give Holy Spirit, the gift, to them that ask Him? He says, even if you evil guys, you make sure your kids get to eat. Well, how much more will God, our Father, give Holy Spirit to those that ask Him? Of course He will. Galatians 3, verse 5. He therefore that ministereth to you the Spirit, and that's what I'm doing here in this class today, is ministering Holy Spirit to you so you can understand what the Scriptures say and you can manifest it for yourself. He that ministereth to you the Spirit and worketh miracles among you, doeth he it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? We learned very clearly yesterday that the things we have in Christ do not come by the works of the law, but by the hearing of faith, by simply believing what Jesus Christ accomplished for us. And in John chapter 7, in the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth me on me, as the Scriptures hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. But this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive. For Holy Spirit, the gift was not yet given, because Jesus was not yet glorified. The gift of Holy Spirit hadn't yet been given. It wouldn't be given until he was glorified, until he was crucified, raised from the dead, ascended to be on the right hand of God in heaven. Then 10 days later, on the day of Pentecost, that's when the gift of Holy Spirit came. And what he was talking about, he said that when they receive this gift, verse 38, he that believeth on me, as the Scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. And that's what we can do when we manifest Holy Spirit. Just let it flow. It doesn't have to trickle. It doesn't have to be one word a month. The speaking in tongues, we can flow, and we can speak in tongues all the time. Then one other verse here in John 20, verse 22, which we read previously. We'll look at it again. Jesus Christ giving His apostles and disciples some instruction about how they would receive Holy Spirit. He says here in Acts 20, verse 22, and when He had said this, He breathed in, it should read, And he said unto them, receive Holy Spirit. Receive the gift. Well, I'd like you all now to put your reading materials away. Don't knock over your beverages. And I'd like you all to stand. Okay, we're all going to stand. I'd like you to just close your eyes now and relax and take some deep breaths. And in a moment, I'm going to ask you to speak in tongues. And when you do that, you're just going to speak forth the first sound that comes to the tip of your tongue and keep speaking. You won't get any big rush. You won't get any big feeling. You'll just speak what's there and the words will just flow. So let's take some deep breaths. Keep taking some deep breaths, and I'll speak in tongues first. Just listen to me. Son kodolon kodoran tarata, lon todolon kodoran tarati, lon kodolon kodoran tarati. Now I'm going to pray, and after that I'll ask you to speak in tongues. Our gracious Heavenly Father, I thank you for these wonderful students, for their love for you and for your word, for their determination to walk with you and believe you and see your mighty power live in their lives every day. I thank you for the gift of Holy Spirit we have, for the ability and privilege and authority we have to operate that power. And I minister now the gift of Holy Spirit to these wonderful students and pray that they too will speak in tongues mightily and boldly, which is the right you've given them as your children. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen. Now everybody speak in tongues. Son kodolon kodoran tarata, lon todolon kodoron kodaka, lon todolon kodonon tarata, Lin kita lin kita ran tarata, lin kita lin kita non tarata, lan kata lan kota lon koraka, lin kita lin kita rin tarata, lon kota non tarata, lan tara ron kota non tarata, lon kota man tarata, lon kota non tarata, lon kota non tarata, lon kota non koraka, lan tara ron kata lan kanata. Okay, stop. Now the big key is you just start to speak. And if you can say one sound, you can say 100. I often encourage people, if they have a problem starting, just go through the alphabet. Say an A and say whatever sounds follow. Then say a B and say whatever sounds follow. And it'll just help you get started. And if you can speak one word, you can speak 1,000. So let's take a deep breath again and get quiet. Now speak in tongues. Son kodolon kodoran tarata, lon kodolon kodonan tarati, lon todolon kodonan tarata, lin kidolin kidonon tarata, lon kodolon kodonon kodaka, lon todolon kodonon tarata, rin kidorin kidolon kodaka, lon todolon kodonan taratin, lin kidolin kidonon tarata, lon todolon kodonan tarata, lin kidolin kidolin kidita, lon todolon kodonon tarata. Okay, let's stop.